Thank you, Ashley and Susan. Woo! Advent, my most favorite time of the year, which is actually quite hilarious because I am horrible at waiting. I'm quite awful at being patient. I love Amazon. And as I was preparing for this sermon, I thought, quite frankly, as my doorbell rang and Amazon came by for the nth time this week, Advent is quite the opposite of Amazon. There was a story that came to mind about middle school Kim Myers, or Kim Rankin at the time, and I was in the band hall, and I thought my girlfriend was in the restroom in the band hall. And so I'm banging on the door of the band hall, telling her, "Shelly, get out, get out," being quite obnoxious about this whole process. And who exits the band hall bathroom but a teacher, who seems less than happy with my behavior and my attitude and just looked at me and says, "Patience is a virtue," and walks away. And it was a life lesson that I should have learned then, yet I continue to learn now. But I will say this. When we talk about the season of Advent, right, which are the 4 weeks that lead up to Christmas Day, it is preparing our hearts and our minds for a story we already know, yet a story we can still learn from. The thing that I have noticed about waiting is there's two different ways to wait. You can wait passively, right? You can just sit and wait. That is not the type of waiting we're talking about today. In fact, the Hebrew word is defined as active waiting. Being in pursuit of something. And if you think about things in your life that are worth waiting for, worth thinking about, worth planning, worth getting there at the end, most of those things can't be rushed. I have a practice in Advent. In fact, I was going to bring it today, but I was rushing out of the house. And I have an Advent wreath in our home. In fact, I have a few. But I've added something new to my rhythm of Advent, and it's a one-pillar candle. I actually bought the first one when I went on tour with the choir to London, and I bought it in the cathedral. And it's ticked off 25 days of this candle. And what's interesting about this practice, so you're supposed to light the candle, and as it goes down to the next day, be in prayer, read scripture, sometimes just pause, right? And what I've noticed in my time with this practice is I can't hurry the candle up. And in fact, if I forget about the candle one day, then it takes twice as long the next day. There is no speeding up this process. Which is why I think this is so important and vital. We're going to learn in Scripture, it is the opposite of what everybody else is doing. Everybody else is busy and hurrying and focused on 1,000 things, which makes you unfocused on anything. I want to start in the Old Testament tonight because Jesus actually quotes this Scripture when asked about who he is. It's in Daniel 7, 13 and 14. And Daniel's talking about a vision, and he says, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was like a son of man, a coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the ancient days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, sovereign power, and all nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. He is everlasting, that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Last week we talked about the sovereignty of Christ, that God is king. And at the beginning of this busy, busy season, it's important for us to recognize that again. Today we're talking actually about hope, which is something else I'm not very good at. Hope is something that's right in the middle of things, typically. I'm kind of an all-in or an all-out type of person, and hope's right there in the middle. Now, I'll say, I've gotten better and better at better of having hope, being optimistic. And it's not about me. It's about what God has done with my heart. This next scripture in Luke, it's 21, 25 through 36. And it's talking about watching and waiting and hope. And as I read this scripture, I want you to think about it both in the context of the early Christians 2,000 years ago, who were actively waiting for Jesus to return quickly. And yet we can still take this scripture and place it into our homes today, talking about who we are called to be, how we are called to live our lives. Pay attention. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. On the earth, the nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehension of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighted down with drunkenness and anxieties of life on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. In some churches, you'll hear this scripture used as fear. Fear of what is to come. I want to read that scripture as hope. Hope of what we are called to be. This is not a time where we walk around in a season of fear of if God is coming, that age-old question, if Jesus knocked on your door, are you ready? The answer should be each and every day, a combination of, oh my gosh, and absolutely. Because we're human, right? Yet in this season, we get to prepare our hearts and our minds for something completely unexpected. In this season of hope, this week where we're focusing on the word of hope in Christ, I started my evening again today doing an internment in the columbarium. And it's a family that is not connected to St. Andrew. And they walked up. They were delightful. It was a dad, and then the daughter's husband had also died. So we did both of them this afternoon. And the son and grandson walked up, and he's in a Longhorn sweatshirt. So I was like, listen, I'm in my robe. I'm going to be pastoral in this moment. But you wore the wrong sweatshirt today. And then I found out that he lived in Highland Park, and Highland Park played my son's team last night and creamed them. Sorry, Coach Cole. And I thought, in today's world, I should not like you. You play for the opposite team that my son goes to school for, and you play for the opposite team that my son's played for. We should not be friends. Isn't that what we do, though? We look at somebody so quickly and say, you look like this, talk like this, act like this, you and I are incompatible. Yet we had some of the sweetest moments before church today. Talking about his dad, talking about his grandfather, laughing, bantering about sports. Come to find out, grandma lives down the street from me and is friends with one of my good friends, right? Because we were there for something greater. We were there to have remembrance and joy and hope in a time that can also be full of sadness and anxiety and fear. And in this scripture we just read, God calls us to be better. He calls us to live outside of the norms of Aggies and Texas and be able to love each other for who you are, not what you wear, not what you say, not what language you speak. The candle of hope reminds me that there is always light in the darkness. The scripture about who God is reminds me that God is all-powerful, all-sovereign, and there is always hope. Yet it takes time. It takes effort. It takes hard work. Made a list of things that I'm really proud of in my life. I'm really proud of our boys. They're really good kids. And there are times when I was raising them that I wished that 24 hours could go in a blink, right? Then there was also times in raising them that I wished time would just slow down. Yet you had to take each day as it comes, and you had to put in the effort again and again and again. I think about me being here. It took a lot of schooling. It took a lot of effort. It took a lot of hope for me to answer this call. I ran from it a long, long time. But I'm glad I put the work in. I'm glad I kept saying yes. I'm glad that God kept reminding me of who I'm called to be. I think about my marriage. We're hitting 25 years this summer. That didn't come easy, and I'm hoping for 25 more, right? I think about dear friendships. I just went to the beach with girlfriends that I've been friends with for 30 years. Those relationships have taken effort and time and work. The last scripture I want to close with today is Luke 1. Because it talks about God's compassion for us. Luke 1, 68 through 79. I want you all to read this week. Luke 1, 68 through 79. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, and he said through his holy prophets long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of people who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham. You see this connection to the past. Yet it goes forward to the future, to rescue us from our enemies, enable us to serve with him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare a way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because the tender mercy of God, by which the rising sun will come from the heaven to shine on those living in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet to the path of peace. To guide our feet to the path of peace. What is hope? What is active waiting mean to you? And sometimes I think it's important to take things out. What would your holidays look like without Advent? What would your Christmas look like without faith? I'll tell you, the candle that I light every single day reminds me to slow down. Reminds me to be purposeful in my faith. It's a simple action. I light a candle for about a minute. Sometimes I forget for a couple days, and I light a candle for about 10 minutes. In that time, I see light. I feel my breath. Sometimes I hear children in the background, not really anymore, you know, fussing and hollering and asking where something is, because life happens in the midst of your faith. But I think about what my Christmas would look like without the light of Christ. And it would be full of things, items. I like shiny things. I'd be focused on symbols, not hope. I'd be focused on lists, not people. And as we begin this season of Advent, begin it with purpose. Begin it with intention. Begin it in this spirit of hope. For if just all of us in this room can see the world through Christ's light, can see the world through the mercy and love that God has for us, think how it's just going to change that little piece of your community. I'm grateful for my faith. I'm grateful for this story. And I'm grateful for the light of hope. for each and every day we get to celebrate who we're called to be. We get to start anew through the hope and the light of Christ. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, as we come to this time of communion, let this meal sustain us in our faith journey. Let this be a time where we do actively and purposefully, with intention, focus on our faith. Focus on the story of your birth. Show us something new this year that we need to see. We say this in your holy and precious name. Amen.